Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, Anucheda Prakashika. One may ask, what is the insistence? Okay, this footnote 26. The Prakashika is taken from Sri Baladeva Vibhushan. It's commentary on this Anucheda. One may ask, what is this insistence on the Veda being the only proof? In answer to this, Jiva says that statements by Veda Vyas agree with his conclusion. He cites six statements of Vyas. The first is from Brahma Sutras. Tarka Pratishthanat. Defining the Lord by logic, Tarkena, is not possible, since its conclusions are destroyed by varieties of human intelligence, one defeating the other. Thus Shruti says, Naisha tarkena matir apaneya prokta yenaiva su janaya prishta. This knowledge cannot be achieved by logic, O dear one. It should be taught by another person in order to be understood properly. Kati Upanishad 1-29. Vyapyaropena vyapa karopas tarkaha. Tarka means by accepting hypothetical vyapa, invariable concomitant. One must accept a vyapaka, pervasive commitment. Oh, yeah. From Tarka Sangraha. It takes the form, if there is no fire, there is no smoke. By destroying doubt about the pervasion, it becomes a type of entrance or anuman. Thus Tarka means anuman. The verse from Mahabharata is found in the Udyama Parva. Shastra Yonitvat is from Brahma Sutras. Is the Lord to be known by inference or by scriptures? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Mantavya, he is known by inference. No, he is not known by inference. The word na should be added to the sutra. Why? Because the cause of knowing him is scripture, Shastra Yonitvat. Aupanishadam purusham prichami. I ask about the Lord who is taught, known to the Upanishads, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Na should also be added to Shrutes too, because you're bringing from previous sutras, so you have to know is what's going on there and that there's coming from the previous ones.
Sometimes it can be done to add another and put the word na.
It means that there's a sutra, let's say, and so we need, let's say, we need these ingredients, and then you give a list. So you could put in front of each one, we need this, we need this, we need this, we need this. But by the how the sutras, the grammar of the sutras, you don't have to do that. You just have to put the one, and then all the others follow that based on that one. So that's why you see many times he says the na comes from this previous one, or the api, or the, you know, something. The cha, it's coming from the previous sutra. Or, you know, a previous sutra, maybe the immediate, or maybe that one sutra, and then many after that, then follow and are on that same theme. Mm-hmm. You understand? So it's not arbitrary, you can just put it wherever you want. Like that. It's that according to these sutras, because you're dealing here with these technical shastras. And so then, Yeah. And so then the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras, they'll use this kind of system. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you have something that's establishing a point, others that they're in line with that. So you have to include the direction given in that original sutra. Does that make sense?
Everybody must accept the same original sutra.
Yes, yes. But you have to, for it, you need to know that grammar. You know, and then it works. That's why it won't be as easy to understand things from Vedanta Sutra as it will be from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Now, all the Upanishads, the knowledge that they give, then it will be easier to understand the Brahma Sutra because it's taking the essence of all of them.
Yes.
But the difficulty is the system is still the same.
Yes.
It's still in Nyaya Prashtan and it's still in the Sutra form, so it still has that kind of technical aspect.
Yes.
The Bhagavatam is not in Nyaya Prashtan. Right? It'll be Smriti, right? So then it'll, in the Puranic system, then it will be much easier to appreciate. Right? Because the point is he is known by inference. He's not known by inference. Right? Because the thing is if he's known by inference, that's only because the inference is being based on Shabda. Right? You have Shabda, then you contemplate that through Manana. And try to apply it so that you see it as pratyaksha.
Yes.
Right? That works.
Yes.
But you can't start with inference.
Yes.
So you can't know the Lord by inference.
Yes.
Because what you start with, all your information comes from the senses is faulty. Because
yes.
If you're liberated, then there's no need to try to find that.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So then it wouldn't be logic. It would be a liberated soul could tell you.
Yes.
Right? But they're working on, no, it's by Anuman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in any way, the only way to know is through Shabda.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to understand yourself, even you can't understand. Even you have the scriptures, it won't be understood unless there's a person. Like that. So you always have to have. Na should also be added to Shrutes too. The fault seen in matter should not apply to Brahman as the agent of creation, since it is said in scripture that he creates by his will alone. So he's beyond. He gives the scriptures. So the scriptures are above, you know, how you say, they do not have human fault. The Lord does not have human fault. And so then we, having human fault, our faultiness in looking at the Shastra, at the Lord, that does not have any application to the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, kamayata bahushyam prajayaya. He desired, let me become many for increasing the population. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6.1. Why should Shruti say something contrary to logic? Shabda mulatvat. Scripture is the only proof for matters which are inconceivable. Right? So you have something that's inconceivable, logic can't solve it because it's inconceivable. So therefore, then only through Shastra can you know something that's inconceivable. And then you can't complain, but it's not logical because logic can't understand that anyway. Right? That's the whole thing, is that the attachment to Gyan is so great that they think that, you know, because of their pride, that I am so intelligent, therefore I know everything, can know everything. There's nothing that I can't know, like that. So one has to be careful of that, is that, no, there are, the inconceivable is beyond the intelligence, so you can't know. Right? So then, it's only through the scriptures that you could know. Now you're trying to apply your intelligence, and it doesn't match. The problem is the intelligence, the logic, not the Shastra.
Yes.
Right? We're taking it that I have to be able to understand it with my intelligence. So therefore, what the Shastra says, I don't understand. So it's not logical. So it can't be proved.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, through my own intelligence, I'll try to work it out. And they'll think for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then at some point, Krishna will give them some directions with the modes of nature, and they'll come up with their philosophy. But it's you can't know what's beyond logic with logic. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a thermometer and it goes up to 100 degrees. So you can't use that thermometer to tell the temperature, let's say, of molten gold. Right? But the person who's very proud of their thermometer and the ability of the thermometer will claim they can. And if it's beyond that, then, okay, what's, you know, it's just, they'll always see it in the context of what they can think. So, because what they think is faulty, therefore, then it's a problem. But that fault does not go on to the Shastra. Just because we can't understand it doesn't mean there's fault in the Shastra. We'll do that because we can never be at fault. We're always perfect. I say.
No, that's in the same way we cannot understand ourselves. It's
no.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, that's why we have to hear from Shastra. Means Shastra means the acceptance of Shastra and getting the benefit of Shastra starts at Manamoya. Means that the theistic moralism, you accept that we don't know. You know, it's just like in the modern context. So many social theories are being used. So many economic theories, political theories are being used. Educational theories and, you know, sensual theories and relationship theories and all these. But whatever they come up with, it's not that the situation's any better. It's different.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know, it's just like, you know, Prabhupada gives the example. You have a boil on your right knee, and then, you know, you get it changed to your left knee. It's different. It hasn't, it seemingly solved the problem with your right leg, but it's created the problem with the left. So, whatever you had, it's always creating problem. Why? Because it's not accepting scripture. So you're dealing with things that are beyond understanding, because you're dealing with the inherent nature of things that are there in the primary creation. You know, what is the nature of something? Therefore, it has its form, it has its action, it has its name. You know, it has its results. All these are not created by man. They're not created by intelligence. We can play with them, but we are not creating. So, at theistic moralism, you accept that I don't know and can't know this, so I have to accept scripture. And even understanding scripture, I have to hear that from authority. So it's not just I read whatever and then I know everything. Yeah. So then you accept, but in that stage you're using scripture, what's beyond, for understanding that we're the soul, not the body, you know, and these things, enough to appreciate karma and good work so that I can do things and get good results in the future. Even if it doesn't come this life, it'll come next life. Right? But the knowledge of the soul isn't so much. We continue further then with the help of the Upanishads and that. Then we can understand that the soul is not the body, and therefore there's no benefit for the soul in all these activities of the body. Right? We identify with them, but that's our mistake. So karma deals with that. But the actuality is that these things, material, cannot satisfy the soul. So unless you go beyond that, to that spiritual understanding, then you won't really get any benefit. So that brings us to that vijnanamoy. So you become detached from the material, but attached to the spiritual, but not to the transcendental. You know. So from that platform, that's the karmis and the jnanis, right? Those two. Now with the devotees coming in, then they know about the transcendental platform, and that's their goal. Though they're situated on the Vijnanamoy platform, because they're trying to establish themselves spiritually so that they aren't involved with the material world. And they're engaging using karma, so it's all based on Shastra. But the highest point is that developing love for Krishna, which is given by Shastra. So below that, then they don't accept. Even if some accept the Vedic, but it's for their own purposes. And so then there'll be a mix of things. So it's not so clean as it should be. Means it may be nice that they're following the regulations of scriptures and that, but their understanding of themselves and God will be incomplete. So. Why should Shruti say something contrary to logic? Shabda mulatvat. Scripture is the only proof for matters which are inconceivable. Inconceivable effects are also seen in gems and mantras. Uddhava speaks the verse from the 11th canto. O Lord, your Vedas are the best eye for humans, devatas and pitas. Why? They can be used for attaining swarga and liberation. Thus the Vedas are the proof. This means, quote, my statement is supported by all the Vedas. I do not say anything unprecedented. Unquote. Sarva Samvadin. Those who do not believe in the Lord think that the scriptures have arisen recently through some author, since they are well known to be created by a recent person, with the intention of destroying the eternal continuous Veda by acts which impair the eternal Varnashram system, destroying the Varnas by engagement in occupations only to get enough food, gathering groups of like-minded persons for discussions. They conclude that the Vedas have been created recently, right? That was written 500 years ago.
Yes.
And that is like, you know, any, you know, modern intellectuals who think that they're smart and are, you know, the standard thing of breaking down authority and traditions and all these archaic things, it's exactly what they do. So that's the thing, is people are thinking, I'm doing something different and new. Everybody else is doing the old, so I'm doing something new. No, this is very standard. It's always been there. Like that. So that's the thing. There is nothing new. That's the thing. You know. Yeah, here. With the intent of destroying the eternal continuous Veda by acts which impair the eternal Varnashram system. By trying to break it up, make it into different things. You know, this one authored this, that one that, and so many things. Then which one? This one says this, that one says that, so we can't take anything. So therefore, what to do? I just get together with my friends, we'll work it out. You know? Like that. As long as they agree with me, of course. You know, like that. So we see is that breaking down the authority of the Veda to impair the Varnashram system, and then you engage in occupations just to get what you need materially. They're not seen beyond that, how you can use that in the Lord's service. So it's not Yukta Vairagya. Right? And then finding other like-minded persons that you can discuss this with, that they'll agree. Then, like that.
Anybody who does that, the Veda is the only thing which is consistent.
Right.
Anybody who wants to do something else, their desire is always faulty.
Yes.
There cannot be anyone who has a good desire to show like as a pro trader.
No.
Because the only consistent is Veda. As soon as we deviate, it's like
one may say that it's for a good intention, but the whole point is why, what's the intention behind the good intention? So that's the thing, is you keep going back. See, is that when you get to that root, that's where everything falls apart, except for the Vaishnava principle. Right, as we saw, Mayavad falls apart when you get back to the point between Jiva, illusion, and Brahman. How does this work? What's the relationship? They have no idea. So they don't know Sambandhagyan. They know after that, details, they may know greatly and can operate for getting certain benefits. But this actual core principle, they can't. So in the same with these, they can't, you take it back, why? Then there's no answer. Means if someone really wants to know and they're there, then they'll be impressed by that and start to think and then take up a deeper understanding. But if there's material attachment involved with this philosophy, or that philosophy supporting the material attachment, then does that make sense? In other words, if you're engaging material attachment in the spiritual, then they can move them forward to deeper knowledge. But if they're using the spiritual to maintain their material attachment, you can't do anything about it, because all you'll get is anger after frustration. They want to establish it, you're showing it's wrong, that's their identity, right? So if you remove their identity, they can't function. How do you choose what to do? So you're attacking their very self, when that idea they have of their very self is illusory. So that's why in these things you just avoid. You don't get involved because you can't. You can't do anything about it.
Here it's mentioned by acts which impair the eternal varnashram system.
Yes.
Most of the problem with people who attack on varnashram system is where there is a mention of they have to perform the responsibilities, they don't want to do that.
No. No. They want to be able to do whatever they like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is if anything from the Veda supports what they're doing, then of course the Veda's right. Like you can see the same person not caring about the Vedic thing, you know, like this, about you know what it says for irresponsibility and this and that. But let's say if it comes to you know some mistake by Brahmacharya or Sannyasi, oh, it's straight according to the letter of Manu.
Yes.
You know? This is not sannyas. This is not brahmacharya. But then in the same way as, you know, what about what Manu says about grihastha? Oh, we're not fanatic. So then we're not fanatic about the brahmacharyas or sannyasis either. You know, we're not fanatic, and it's all, what is it, laissez-faire? You know, it's all cool, whatever it goes. Or we're fanatic about all of it. So that's the thing, we just use it as we like. So in other words, it supports what we're doing, that's why we agree. That was mentioned a few verses before, is that what agrees with us, then we accept that part. And what doesn't agree, then we don't. So to do that, you have to break down the importance of the Veda, the authority of the Veda, to do that. And then it'll be used to break down Varnashram. You know, because then people want to do whatever they want.
This principle is very important to understand, that the Veda is the only consistent, and then by no other process you can arrive at anything conclusive.
No, that's the whole point. When you have that faith, that removes the nartas.
Mm-hmm.
That situates you stable in devotional service, and has been discussed by Rupa Goswami, the other acharyas.
Yes.
That then makes you actually, you can say, a solid devotee.
Yes.
You would say, now you're a devotee, but a sadhaka.
Yes.
So it means you're not devotee on the platform that real devotee means prema, but you're a real sadhaka in pursuance of prema. But before that point, then you have the potential to take that up. But due to not having that faith, then these material attachments are maintained. Because you see, the Madhyama chants nicely, they're steady. So because they have that faith, so those attachments then are starting to wane. Well, the Kanista maintains those attachments. That's the difficulty, because they don't have that faith. So in other words, you have to have faith that Krishna is taking care. That's the whole point. Because Purva Paksha. In the Vedas it says that stones float, earth speaks, and water speaks. Therefore they are not reliable as authority. Yes, but this person says you'll be happy through logic and material endeavor or liberation. So. Uttara. The praise of stones is used in particular rituals in order to increase the power of stones, to show results for performing certain karmas. Right? So then you can do, it's just like, since you're dealing on in karma, what is the ultimate goal is what? Primary or secondary?
Secondary.
And in this secondary, then you expect good facilities. Right? That's the whole point. Why do karma and get bad facilities? You want good facilities. So now, good facilities means it's something, external, that it's there, you can see it, you can touch it, the senses can interact with it, right? So, therefore, if they have particular rituals to increase the power of stones, they show for certain things, and it shows that it's working. So if you chant the mantra and the stone floats, then you think, okay, he can get me my material desires. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Prabhupada mentions on the these big Shrauta Yajnas and these kind of, you know, these the, you know, bigger than the daily and activities or the seasonal, that they'll take an old cow and grab it by the tail and push it into the fire and pull it back and chant mantra and then pull it out by the tail and a calf will come out. Then you know, okay, these Brahmins know their stuff. They're good. Right? You know? That's the thing, is that you don't necessarily, the Vedic, you don't need recommendations. You can just see by they can do it or not. You know? No? Yeah, so then and there, it's done because people see external. It's about external. The goal is external, so you show them through external. Yes.
Also, they need to start the yajna by chanting the mantras.
Yes.
Otherwise, nothing starts.
Yeah, yeah. Means if they can't see, yeah, the fire originally, as you chanted the mantra, the fire started. Then we'll get around to the cow and calf. Kind of. Yeah. Yes. There is no fault, since it is well known that Ram made stones float in building the bridge to Lanka. When it is said that earth and water speak, it refers to the devatas of the earth and water speaking. Thus, in all cases, the Vedas are trustworthy. But because they are difficult for ignorant jivas to comprehend, being words of the omniscient Lord, it is only possible that persons having special pratyaksha gained through the influence of the Veda can understand what is stated in the Veda. Not the person's fiction logic. So the special pratyaksha means you're seeing through the eyes of Scripture.
Yes, yes.
So you can see it. Like Prabhupada mentioned that, I think that was in 9th or 10th canto, is that the pure devotees, they're seeing, they don't see like the ordinary person say. He doesn't see like we see. He sees because he's seeing through Scripture, through realization, through his God consciousness. So means not. It's not that the senses don't see what we see, but the point is then the mind has to do something with it. So they see beyond that, because then there's aspects what the mind can see. Right? So then that's the point, is that they're be able to see beyond that. So that's special pratyaksha. Because it's based on shabda. So when shabda is, when there's faith in shabda, that's used, that's contemplated as manana, that brings you to pratyaksha. Right? So this is by shabda, coming properly in parampara, then you have special manana, then special pratyaksha, right? Mm. Like that. So it's not. It looks mechanically the same, but it's not.
Yes. Can you relate, for example, to magic? A person who knows how to do magic, he sees the tricks, you know. Mm-hmm. A person who doesn't know.
Yeah, they think it's magic. Yeah. Yeah.
He has some qualification.
Yes, you could say like that. Yeah. But yes, but they're even seeing in just regular things. Means you could say that would be one aspect. But let's say another is that you have a situation, and you have an ordinary person that's walking through that every day. Yeah. But let's say now, for the first time, some businessman walks through that. What does he see? He sees business opportunities.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, the administrator sees administrative, the Brahmin sees educational.
Yes, yes.
But those then situated in Shastra then see according to Shastra.
Yes, yes.
Like that? So it just takes it beyond. Yes. But yeah, so they're not tricked by Maya, yes. Like what you said, the magician. Because the point is, Krishna is he's the magician, and then Maya is just doing the work,
yes.
You know, the assistant. So someone who surrendered to Krishna, they're not tricked by Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But they see according to what's beneficial for Krishna. So whatever is there means you engage the senses with knowledge in activities,
mm-hmm.
to get a result.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the living entity, according to their karma, according to their perspective, is going to look at everything through that. Like, mm-hmm. you know. But it'll be based on sense gratification.
Yes.
As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the sensuous gaze of inspection. You know, you inspect everything, how we can gain something from that. So, but they're just thinking, I'm just seeing, but then all that's going on. But for the devotees, for the, you know, those who are based on scripture, then when they see, they see the same sensual opportunities, but and activities and results, but for Krishna.
Yes.
Right? So you see, but you don't get involved if it's not your occupation, if it's not your duty. But it doesn't mean that you don't appreciate it. Like he says here, you know, he's saying here, what was it? You know, that these praise of stones is particular rituals. So this for performing certain karma, there's no fault. But it doesn't mean that we need to do that. But then he gives the example of Lord Ramachandra floating. You know, so that's in connection with the Lord. But these others are just doing it in connection with karma. So it's there. They're following the Veda. They're regulating their life. So it's progressive, but it will only get them up to the heavenly planets. Mm. So that's the point, is that what they're doing is correct, but it's limited. Right? And then what they're doing in jnana, it will get you to liberation, but it's limited. But bhakti, that's unlimited. So when you see karma and jnana in connection with bhakti, not bhakti in connection with karma and jnana, then that becomes, everything becomes connected to the Lord. And then as is useful, you use the karma and jnana. But the point is that they're only assistants or tools for bhakti. It's like you're cooking. You have so many tools to use. And they're useful as long as they're, you know what I'm saying? You know, if someone's like, I got a new frying pan, I got to cook something, you know, like that. It's just about the frying pan. Then it does, it's a little strange. But when it's, you want to cook something, so then you may think about, okay, we could do with this and that, and then you come up with something and you have to change it, and then you just change what tools you're going to use. Does that make sense? You know, you thought, okay, something's there, we'll cook this recipe, but then when you check, you don't have the ingredients or something, or there's less of something, so then you change. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to deep fry this, you know, and make a subject like that, so, okay, but then you go and check, there's not enough ghee to deep fry it. Okay, so then we'll steam it, and then we'll pan fry it. And then we'll put it into the, you know, so it's just, you just, the tools are there to assist cooking. That's the whole idea. So karma and jnana, they just assist bhakti. That's why then Bilva Mongkal Thakur is mentioning that karma, dharma, artha, karma, moksha are standing at the door to render some service. Because if you're absorbed in bhakti, those are there to assist. Because what are those? Dharma, artha, karma, moksha, they're not our energies, they're Krishna's energies. Mm-hmm. And these energies, the secondary energies, are there to assist the primary. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the way it always works. So in the spiritual world, then, these superior secondary energies are assisting the more superior primary energy. Right? While in the material world, inferior secondary energy is being used to serve the superior primary energy. So it's just the ingredients aren't as great. That's all.
But Maharaj, it is difficult to accept the Veda if we don't know our identity.
Yes. Servant of Krishna.
Yes, yes. When you know that, it is easy to,
then
accept,
it's easy
to accept.
But if we don't accept that, then there'll always be a problem.
Yes.
Always be a problem. You know? Or, means you have the karmis and jnanis can accept the Veda. But, yeah, some part, but they won't understand the whole thing. But how much they're interested in, they just look at that.
Yes.
So now, if it's, that's all the more they know, and you show them beyond that, and they take it up, that means then they're, you know, that progression is a natural element.
Yes, yes.
You know, they're just functioning within the modes, but they're trying to progress. So then you see with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others, then when Lord Chaitanya then meets them, then they move forward.
Yes.
Okay. But because they are difficult for ignorant jivas to comprehend, being words of the omniscient Lord, it is only possible that persons having special pratyaksha, gained through the influence of the Vedas, can understand what is stated in the Vedas, and not persons fixed in logic. So no matter how intelligent they are, They can be actually technically the smartest person alive today, you know, by academic standards. They still can't understand it. Mm-hmm. But they won't agree to that. Right? Because they can't believe that someone who's less intelligent than them can understand things that they can't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's false ego for them. You know, that's
usually it's that it's more easy to agree when we are suffering.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like I was told, I don't know, but, you know, so this is coming from others, so whether it's proper authority or not, but that, you know, our friend in the wheelchair, you know, he's always been totally atheistic, as you know, like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it didn't develop later, because from what I understand, when he's a young man, he didn't have any difficulties, and then something, some degenerating disease came, and he ended up like this until he can't speak, and he has to use all the machines and all that. So, and he's very atheistic, because why would God do this to him? Because he's such a fabulous person, right? So, therefore, but then I heard that then when his brother got sick or something, you know, some terminally ill and that, then he's kind of opened up to the idea that maybe there is a supreme. So it's like what you say, is when there's things happen, that then these are the opportunities to go one way or the other. So they have proper association, they move forward. They have bad association, they'll move backwards. You know, because you see in the same situation, you know, someone gets sick and then someone, I mean, so just like something happens. I think Vlad, he went off to battle with the Turks. And he was a very religious person, very supportive of religion and everything like that. You know Vlad? Count Dracula? Dracula.
Dracula, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So his name is Vlad.
Okay.
He happened to be the guy in charge of Transylvania, like that. And the Turks were giving them trouble, and he was the only one who was bold enough to stop them. You know, he would do stuff to them that they would just stay away. As long as he was alive, they didn't even bother coming. So he went away for some battle. He was away for some time. During that time, I think his wife got sick and died. So then when he came back and she died, it's like he's off, you know, doing all this good work. You know, how did God let his wife die? So therefore then he became atheistic. So this happens. Yes.
The guy on the wheelchair, towards the end of the life, he started making open statements, opening up to the concept that God may exist.
Oh, okay.
But the people, the writers, everybody saying, he didn't mean it.
Yeah, yeah, because they can't accept it, you know. But it's, yeah, that's the problem. Is that, you know, it's like you said, you find like-minded people and then sit around, you know, drinking coffee and making comments, you know, like that. Yeah.
A few months before he died, he made an open statement.
Yeah, so that's the thing. There's something there. I heard it was something connected with his brother. And so then, you know, that's like you say. So these opportunities, that's the thing, is that because you're dealing with the soul, those opportunities will come up.
Yes.
But the window is narrow. Like that. That's the problem. If you follow the Vedic, then you're always following a pious lifestyle. So basically, all the time is favorable.
Yes.
Though there might be a little up and down when you get, you know, it's like, say, you know, there's, you know, daughter's wedding, so you're more fire, you know, absorbed there and forget about all the other things, or it goes the other way. You know, so, but it's basically you're always open.
Yes.
But if you don't follow, then as Narada Muni points out to Yudhishthira Maharaj, those who don't follow the Vedic culture, you know, like the Mlechas and Yavanas, then something happens where it just extinguishes their, you know, will to enjoy. And there's a small window there. If you catch them at that point, then they're willing to listen. But before that and after that, they're not. So that's why it's not recommended as a process. Because you don't know when it'll work.
Yes.
You know, it's just like yayati. Engaging his senses fully, according to scripture. As the scripture mentions what is the proper engagement of senses, so that you get the best results. And so fully engaging his senses, he didn't break any rules, but fully engaging for 1,000 years, then after 1,000 years of, you know, and he's a king, you know, an emperor, so the facilities he has is quite good. Then he came to the conclusion that he was satisfied with the realization that you cannot be satisfied, you know, on the material platform, you know, through the senses. So then he gave the youth back. So that's 1,000 years. So if we say, oh no, but we'll just pour so much ghee on the fire that the fire will go out, but you don't know when that'll happen. 1,000 years, by that's 10 lifetimes. Right? But, you know, the first bit of the lifetime, the last end of the lifetime is kind of wasted. Like that. So it'll take a few more. You know, so probably 15, 20 lifetimes to get that. And that's if you have the facility and the piety.
Yes, yes.
You know, because he was in that position from piety. But if you're not using it, using malechisa, it's impiety. So that's going to be generating impious situations. So it may take hundreds or thousands of lifetimes to get in that much sense enjoyment. But because it's so not connected to each other, you may not see the connection.
Yes, yes.
Like that. You know, it's just like, let us say you have some preparation you really like, your favorite, you know, like that. And, you know, once a year, twice a year, you're able to, you know, it gets arranged. Like that. So it maintains that it's something so fabulous. Now, what if it's arranged that every day you'll get? How many days will it take before you see it's not that great? You know, I mean, it's just, okay, you know, after, yeah, that's good. You know, I've had enough, you know, 3-4 days. Okay. But what happens if that's all there is? There isn't something else. Then you're going to start seeing, you know, its weakness. So that's the idea in the Vedic, is that it's not a recommended path because it's a waste, you're wasting time. But if you follow the Varnashram system and those things, then the senses are engaged, the relationships and all that, then you can see the thing, and it's regular, it's stable, mm-hmm. as stable as you can be.
Yes.
And then you start to be able to compare. But it only works if at the same time you're engaged in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can compare that the taste in devotional service is greater than the taste in the material.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
So generally people see that the material nature, Mayadevi, is very harsh. But because of the jiva's identification with this strong attachment with the body, that even when the window comes, many people, they already build a wall.
Yeah, no, so you can't guarantee they'll take it. Because like you said, they may be open to something or they may completely be rejected.
Yes. So then she has to destroy all those.
Yeah, so it gets even more tough.
And the harsh reality is...
Yeah. It's harsh and real. It is said, Shastrartha yuktonu bhava pramanam tutamam matam anumadya na svatantra pramana Paravim Yayu. The best proof is experience combined with the meaning of scriptures. Independent Anuman does not produce proof. Purushottama Tantra. So, taking scripture and then applying it, you know, practically applying it, then that experience gained there, then that's the best proof. Because before, if you have faith, then you do. But then when you apply it, and then you realize, then it's even stronger, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But Anuman on its own, without taking from scripture and without being, it doesn't give anything.
Yes.
So Tarka.
We can see, for example, when we have a faith in chanting Hare Krishna, we can realize something.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But if we only infer about the Mahamantra, we don't...
No. Because you have faith. It's just like, let's say, people are doing kirtan in the yoga studio. So, that they're willing to do kirtan and all that, and that's very nice, but it'll just be a pious activity for them. It won't be devotion.
Yes.
Even if they're chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Because they're not hearing from a devotee who has faith, and they don't have faith. It means you could come in and chant anything. If you could come up with some nice little ditty, then it would work. As long as you could get it and get the rhythm and everybody going. It's like you could, if you could somehow or another do an upbeat, upbeat version of what, Frère Jacques? Get it going, get the drums going and get dancing and stuff like that. They don't care as long as they get the experience. So it's not that they're attached to the Maha Mantra. It's just that it's where kirtan comes from. It's one of the common mantras, so it's used. But when they have faith in it, now they're getting the spiritual benefit. Or if they've heard from people who have faith. So it's like the devotees come to that yoga studio and do kirtan, because kirtan's popular and devotees do kirtan, and so they invite devotees to the kirtan. Right? And so then it's there. But now they're hearing from bona fide sources. So now it has the chit shakti. So until they have faith, it's a jnana sukriti. But now they're getting spiritual benefit. So the faith is the core thing, and you get faith from devotees. It doesn't come, you can't get it directly from scripture. You can't, get it on your own. You only get it from devotees. No, that's why it says that verse, Bhagavatam verse, it says that something about, not by their own intelligence, their own endeavor, or the endeavor of others, or anything can they get. Somebody said, because they're materialistic, so it's not going to happen. There's no method. Okay, Tarka Pratishthanat. If you think otherwise, then we say that logic is not solid proof. It would lead to the impossibility of liberation. Because logic, one person says one thing, the other person can overturn that. How will you ever get to liberation? Because there's no conclusion, there's no absolute. That's the whole point about logic. There is no absolute. Right? It can work with absolute, but it itself cannot reveal absolute. Because being a mechanical thing, it's just a matter of how good you are at it. Just like senses. Somebody sees, they can't see stuff. Another person has sharper senses, they can see stuff. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, over there, the wall. We have that square there and this square here in the arch. Yes. Is one of the other of them done better than the other? Is the finishing better on one than the other?
You can say sometimes yes or sometimes no.
Huh?
You can say yes or no.
Yes. Yeah, it depends what you're looking at. Yes. But let's say that you look at the right one here. See, the bricks are quite red in that. There's very little extra cement. But if you look on the left one, there's many patches where they didn't clean the cement off properly.
Yes.
Right? But we can see that, but the guys who built it can't. You understand? So that's the point. Someone with better senses can see things that you can't see. So the same thing, someone with more ability and logic, they can see things and argue that you can't, even though what they're saying is totally bogus. They're just better at the mechanics. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So whatever it is, it's all like that. Fighting. Two people are fighting. One's better than the other. But let's say the one who's not as good is fighting for a good cause, and the one who's better is fighting for a bad cause. How do you establish? So it's just... And then he's there, and then someone bigger than him will come along. So that's the way logic goes. It can never come to the absolute proof. Can't give. Right. So liberation is impossible, because what's the conclusion? Viti. Tarka Pratishthanat is part of an argument in the second chapter of the Vedanta Sutras, 2.1.11. There, an opposing claim is being considered that the absolute truth can be discovered by logic. In answering that view, the sutra implies the unspoken words, "No, logical conjecture is not sufficient to realize the Supreme." And then continues by saying, because it is never conclusive. The word tarka, in its more technical sense, indicates the speculative process of sorting out a number of possible premises, imagining the consequences of each, and eliminating the obviously inappropriate ones. Quote, I want to prove that there is fire on this mountain. Why do I believe this? Because the air is getting warmer. No, that could be on account of the sun's coming out from behind the clouds. Because there is smoke on the mountain. Well, if there weren't any fire, then there wouldn't be any smoke. This kind of educated guessing may be fruitful within a limited range of logically analyzable situations, but it can never enter the materially immeasurable range of transcendence. Mm-hmm. So that's also why in our philosophy we put achintya, not just beta, beta, tatra, achintya. It means it's inconceivable, it's beyond. You know, because it doesn't make sense how something could be one and different at the same time. But that's the way it is, because Krishna is everything, and at the same time, his form is identifiable, separate from all other things that is him. So that's inconceivable. Yeah. Shutastu shabda mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable objects. Brahmasutra 2.127. The next...
This is also vritti.
Yes. Oh, okay. Then you're putting the vritti. The next aphorism, Jiva Goswami quotes, Shutastu shabda mulatvat. Vedanta Sutras 2.127 comes from the same subchapter as Tarka Pratishthanat. Mm-hmm. Brahman is the creator of this world. But how does he avoid the fatigue and anxiety that other creators suffer? He does so by creating everything simply by desiring. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6, so kamayata bahu sham pajayeya. He desired, let me become many, let me create progeny. End quote. But how can the scripture... Okay, now this is a new quote, right? No, that's the end of that. Is this the next doubt?
Yes, yes, no. The quotation for him.
But how can the scriptures say something contradicted by our own experience? From experience, from our own direct perception, we know that creating is fatiguing and troublesome. And how can scripture deny that we know what we know from direct perception? Oh, okay, because they're connected to the wrong letters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Why? Because revealed scripture, unlike sense perception, is based on Shabda Praman. Shutastu Shabda Mulatvat. Shabda Praman alone verifies the authority of the Vedas. When other Pramanas contradict what the Vedas say, the contradictions are only apparent. Vedic Shruti is irrefutable. Right? We have to have that faith. Then will understand. Because some will say, oh, that's blind faith. No, because that's the point, is you actually realize, you actually see, according to that. So it's not blind. But the people that don't have the place is blind faithlessness. Like that. Naisha tarkena matir apneya prokta nyenaiva su Gyanaya Preshta. This logic cannot be achieved by logic. Oh, this knowledge cannot be achieved by logic. Oh, dear one, it should be taught by another person in order to be understood properly. Katha Upanishad 1.2.9. Natvam vidata ya ima jajanayad yushmakam antaram bahuva nihareyana pravrita jalpya chashu tripa upta shasash charanti. You do not know the person who produced these creatures, who dwells within you, surrounded by ignorance, engaged in material logic, uttering mantras to maintain themselves. The priests carry out their actions. Mm-hmm. Right? Rig Veda 10.83.7. Jalpya pravrita means persons engaged in logical debate. Therefore it is said, sarvatra shakyate karatum agamam hi vinanuma. Tasman nasa shakti mati vina gamam udikshitum. In all cases, scripture can be used without anuman. Without scripture, anuman cannot be given regard. Varaha Purana. So the scripture can be used without anuman. You take it, you accept it, you apply it. But the anuman, if it's not based on scripture, it's not given any regard at all. Because otherwise, people speculate, they come up with all kinds of stuff, and so what? It's just speculation. Yeah, you can come up with that. You can have so many combinations. Hmm? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, we want to, you know, where our path is the razor's edge. So then to practice that, then, you know, we should all be used to the razor's edge. So instead of putting the blankets down like this flat that are so easy to sit and so wide, we'll stand them up on the edge and everybody will sit on the edge of them and get used to that kind of thing like that. So, you know, we have enough. Everybody will get their own blanket. You know, but... And that way, then, we'll stay on the path of pure devotional service. Right? So, what's the point? Yes, that's the whole point. So we have to be not affected by it. That's the thing. Just because the materialists are thinking that, and as it said before, we shouldn't be, you know, what it's talking about, I can't remember what was the context, but it was a discussion, I think it was in the 11th canto, where we're not impressed by the material ability of the materialists. Because that comes from Krishna anyway. And so according to the modes, according to the time, then different people are become expert or, you know, knowledgeable or have great abilities and so many things. We shouldn't be impressed by that and therefore, you know, say that they're, what they do is what we should be following. Right? So the point is that it's come from the Lord anyway. It's just the living entities in the material world, they're wanting to taste, go through the cycle of tasting the taste of 8,400,000. Mm-hmm. So that means at some point all these have to be available. Mm-hmm. You know, and since there's a lot of living entities, you know, it's not like just there's a couple of them. There's a lot of living entities, therefore, you know, in any particular situation of consciousness, there's going to be, you know, many that could be involved. So since you're making an arrangement, why not involve all those living entities? Therefore, then you have the fashions and the fads and the, you know, the times, the decades, the, you know, essentially where there's a particular flavor. You know, even it comes down to the day of Brahma, there's a general flavor in the day. Right? You know, so that idea of the flavor of the day, that comes from Brahma's day. And so all the creations, the thousand yuga cycles that'll happen, it'll all have that similar kind of flavor. The next day will have a slightly different. So in this way, all the different opportunities, what mathematical opportunities are to be able to appreciate in the material world, the living entity can taste that. Mm-hmm. Right? So of course Krishna's making all these arrangements, but we shouldn't be impressed that the material thing that they're doing, that's what's working. No, it's Krishna that makes it work. So if Krishna makes it work, then he's given it to us in its pure form through Shastra and through the Parampara. So we take it that will give us much greater results. Does that make sense? You know, like Prabhupada was here. He met every big person that there was to meet, you know, that he met, wearing what he wore, acting the way he acted, and speaking the way he spoke. You know what I'm saying? He didn't adjust it. That, oh, we're meeting a big guy, we have to adjust. No, he didn't. Because that's the point. The absolute truth is what is the universal thing of appeal for all living entities. Because the jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, they're naturally attracted to Krishna. Yes?
In fact, the big guy comes to us to hear what we want to say, not
like that.
All the big scientists came to hear about God to Prabhupada. Yeah. Never impressed how he can present it.
Yeah. And one of them, I can't remember, I mentioned Forrest. One of those early ones, I think he may have even given a comment on Gita. You know, and this is, you know, they always have the little after reading the book, they give a what's that called? You know, they write a little thing about, yes, this Bhagavad Gita, this, that, so nice, I've read so many other, that kind of thing.
Like Gandhi,
he wrote something on Prabhupada's books like that. And so that would have been back in the, I think they may have, you know, either, you know, 60s or early 70s, like that. So he was kind of one of those ones that was always there. Then I saw a short video on, I mentioned that 50 years since Prabhupada came and spoke at Harvard.
Yes,
so
yes.
They had a program in the same hall and invited all these, you know, big academics that either were there or around who had known Prabhupada, like this and that, and brought them all invited for the program. And then, you know, then our leading devotees were there and things like that. And it was very interesting to note that this person, you know, from that time, his comment that he made, and then I think someone else mentioned that he's always made this comment since the beginning, you know, since that time, 60s or 70s, that the Hare Krishna movement is coming from India. Coming from that old ancient tradition. So his point is, you don't need to change and modernize to be relevant in the modern world. Because the knowledge and the tradition that's there is so rich in that, you just have to do what you're doing and others will appreciate that. So that's the thing, we don't have to adjust, we don't have to, the shabd is there, we take it. The Anuman, they're doing it. They're coming up. All the things that they're doing are all speculations. Like the economic system. It's just speculation. You know? We'll say, oh, bartering is old-fashioned. But bartering means, you know, this guy has a sack of rice, and this guy has a cow, and you trade. There's no loss in the system. You don't make profit by someone else losing. But in the modern system, people make profit by others losing. So as long as everybody stays involved and keeps going, the odds are such that kind of it'll keep going, because the guy who's making so much money, at some point he loses, and then the other guys who are losing, then they start to make, and it kind of limps along. You know, and one or two people will be billionaires, you know, like this, and then, you know, at least when they go to bed at night, when they wake up in the morning, they may not be so billionary, you know, like that. And
some zeros missing in there.
Yeah, a few zeros are missing. What's going on here? You know? What do you mean? What are you worried about? They're nothing. You know, why are you so worried? You know? Yeah, the three is still there. Yeah, but it's only 300,000, not 30 billion. That's the zeros. So that's the difficulty, is that for somebody to make profit, someone else has to lose. Well, the Vedic system, no, it's just everybody can make profit.
Also, it is according to what they can afford to.
Yes. Yes, what they can afford. There's no, you don't have credit cards. So, you have it, you buy it. You don't have it, you don't buy it. You know? So, it's just, it's a natural system. But the speculative system, it seems to have so many benefits, but then there's so many problems also. You know? Like that. So, that's the whole thing. So, in all fields, education, administration, politics, the economics, the arts and science, all these different things, they all, because of the speculation, they don't have a solid ground and they keep changing. Well, the Vedas, it says the same thing today as it's always said, and it still works just as well. Right? So that's the whole point, is that it won't work otherwise. So if that's there, then you can accept Shastra. Having accept Shastra, Shastra says to surrender to the Supreme Lord, then you'll do it. But if we're based on Anuman, then it's okay, Shastra says that, but you know, I don't see why I should surrender. You know, I tried it, I didn't like it.
Now, can we say that this portion of the book is to try to inspire us logically to understand that there is something beyond this?
Yes. Yes, but it's logic based on Shabda.
Yes.
That's why it works.
Yes.
If it was just Anuman on its own, it wouldn't work. But the logic is based on Shabda. Yes. That's why it works.
Yes.
So, The Advaitavadis say, Yat neno padito pyarta kushaler anu matribhi abhiyukta terer anyer anyataivo papadyate. A meaning produced with great effort by a skillful logician can be refuted by another more refuted by other more skillful logicians. Vaparushartha 134. Right? And these are the guys that speculation is their bread and butter. Right? You know, yeah.
Here we can appreciate that how Jiva Goswami has bought all the Shastric literature. Everyone, what everybody says, it's my book. And yeah. Put it here to show the point that so everybody has to accept naturally.
No? Yeah, yeah. But I've heard, I think, a Sri Vaishnava was telling about a Mayavadi who became a Vaishnav after reading this book. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like you said, it's just got everything in it, and it's just, it's no, you can't refute it. Shankaracharya says, quote, the logicians from the past, present, and future cannot be gathered together at one time and place in the present so that we can produce the true meaning of the text. Right? Because anuman means a speculation. Since the Vedas are eternally the cause of producing knowledge, they produce a conclusive meaning for a particular topic. The knowledge generated is complete. It cannot be destroyed by any logician of the past, present, or future. Commentary on Brahma Sutra 2.1.11. The teachings seen in the scriptures, which sometimes use logic, are the glory of the scripture. Since that logic is the form of the scripture and has been used only to make the meaning easily understood, right? So they'll use it just to make it understood. Because you can make the statement, we wouldn't know the conclusion, so logic has shown how it works.
Yes.
But it's still, it's the scripture that's using it.
Yes.
Right? So it's perfect, right? One argues that the words of the Veda act as proof only if proved by logic, then that is only logic. What is the use of the Vedas at all? Footnote 27. In logic, citing evidence that relies on itself for proof is legitimacy is called circular reasoning and is unacceptable. The Vedas may thus appear tainted with this defect of svashraya, or begging the question, relying on themselves to establish their own authority. So circular reasoning and begging the question are the same. And in Sanskrit, it's svashraya. Oh, sva-ashraya. It's its own shelter. Okay. Circular reasoning would be a serious defect, but a closer look shows that the Vedas are an exception to this fallacy. That the Vedas establish their own authority is not a defect, rather is logical and sensible. It simply affirms their absolute transcendental nature. Since if some other source were needed to confirm the authority of the Vedas, the authority of that new source would surpass that of the Vedas. In such a case, that's what he's saying before, then one logician surpasses another.
Right?
In such a case, an inquisitive person would be obliged to discard the Vedas and begin all over again analyzing the new source. Before long, this new source would need confirmation from yet another source. This could go on ad infinitum. But the absence of such a superior source for confirmation shows that the authority of the Vedas, as apaurusheya, shabda praman, is final. Logically, therefore, no other praman can substitute the Vedas. That was 27. Such types of persons who think themselves followers of the Vedas are excluded from understanding the Vedas. That is the meaning given everywhere. So they're followers of the Vedas, but they're only following these secondary aspects. They're following the culture, they're following the ritual, they're following the philosophies, you know, the logic, these kind of things. And they're basing it on Shastra, they're not taking it from somewhere else. But the problem is they won't come to the conclusion. They won't know about transcendence. So they'll just be in the material world and stay in the material world. That is the meaning given everywhere. Their destination is that of jackals. That is described in Mahabharata, footnote footnote 28. The jackal speaks to Kasyapa. He relates that in his previous life he was a logician who argued with followers of the Vedas. As a result, he became a jackal. So if you like arguing too much, then you become a jackal. You know, because they like to talk.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The evening they just shout, howl, which is, makes no sense, but they will think that they're, you know, the leaders.
Yeah, yeah, they're saying so much. This is like the donkey.
Yeah.
They actually think that they're reciting poetry.
Yeah.
So to them, it's so sweet and nice, and he's really giving his good part, and he can't understand why everyone else is getting upset. You know? Because they only do that when someone's listening.
Yeah.
If they're on their own, they don't make those sounds. But if someone comes and they see them as a person worth, you know, speaking their poetry to, then they'll start. And then they get up, and they can't understand why would somebody be yelling at him or throwing a stick or hitting him or like this. You know, so like that. Yeah, so the donkeys, it's poetry, and the jackals, it's logic.
Jackals
think
they're very clever.
Yes, they do. Use of logic is mentioned in statements like Shrotavyo Mantavya, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2:4-5. I think you need a bracket?
Yes.
Where Mantavya refers to a logical thought process. But Kurma Purana explains this. Purva Para Virodhena ko kon varto bhimato bhavet ityadyam uhanam tarka shuksha shushka tarkam cha varjayet. That logic is approved which produces a meaning not contrary to previous and latter parts of a scripture. One should avoid dry logic. Right? So, means you're going along in the scripture, and while the scripture is going along, you're taking that and you're analyzing. Right? You're trying to understand it and see the practical use like that. So you're trying to bring it to that, you know, what it says, that special pratyaksha. Right? Means that it's based on the authority of the Veda, and so you can see through the eyes of scripture. But in doing that, the logic that you're applying in that one specific instance, that particular verse or part of the verse, it can't contradict what the verses before that or the verses after that. So it can't be that with this verse you come up with something totally different than what the book is actually talking about. Because you can know is because in the beginning the book will say what it's talking about. What is the subject matter? So you can't come up with something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that was 29. No one can attain the absolute truth by argument. One may be very expert in logic, and another person may be even more expert in the art of argument. Right? Because you have logic means you know the technicality of what's logical and how to actually see that it's actually a proper statement. But someone may be even more in the art of argument. So they know how to just apply the padarthas so that they can win the argument, not apply the padarthas to figure out what's actually logical and come to a conclusion.
Yes.
Right? Because there is so much word jugglery in logic, one can never come to the real conclusion about the absolute truth by argument. The followers of the Vedic principles understand this. However, it is seen here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhist philosophy by argument. Those who are preachers in ISKCON will certainly meet many people who believe in intellectual arguments. Most of these people do not believe in the authority of the Vedas. Nevertheless, they accept intellectual speculation and argument. Therefore, the preachers of Krishna consciousness should be prepared to defeat others by argument, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 9:49 purport. So, one knows the logic, one knows the techniques of argument. Then that's good, but we use it just based on the conclusions of scriptures given to us by the acharya. And then you can argue, because there are, as Prabhupada said, people who, that's what they appreciate. If it's not presented through logic, they're not going to be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so then the preachers, then they would know that. Mm-hmm. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.